Thanks for joining another episode of the Millennium Live podcast. Today, we've got a really amazing retail-focused episode. We're talking with a company that is really empowering retails with AI-fueled retail intelligence. And speaking all about a company called Edited, we have Michael Ross. He is the chief scientist over at Edited. Visionary, someone with a great background. We'll dive into a little bit about his bio in a minute. Today, specifically, we have a discussion about strengthening your teams with connected data and how connected data is so important, especially to getting that answer faster and some of the typical struggles that retailers have today. We'll be kind of discussing all those areas and the impact of a company like Edited. So I'm really excited to dive in. So Michael, thank you first of all for joining the podcast and taking the time out of your day to talk with us.
Thank you, Connor. It's good to be here.
So just an introductory question to lead things off. And if you could just give us a brief overview just about yourself, your background. You had a company, you previously co-founded Dynamic Action, which is now a part of Edited. So it'd be nice to kind of dive into that and your background. A little bit also about Edited as well.
Sure. So if I'll go back probably 30 years, when I started my career at McKinsey, right at the beginning of the internet, and spent 5 years advising clients and retailers, really again, very, very early days, trying to work out what the internet was, what it was good for. And then in 1999, I left McKinsey and co-founded and became CEO of a business called Figleaves.com. So Figleaves was a multi-brand underwear and lingerie retailer. We plotted global underwear domination, and I spent 7 years building that business. At our peak, we were, I think in 2002, we were the largest online underwear retailer in the world. We weren't largest for very long, but we certainly had a brief period. And I exited that business in 2006. And then I co-founded my second business, which was a business called Ecomera. And Ecomera was an e-commerce services business. So again, it was sort of probably second wave of e-commerce when a lot of retailers were going online, not for the first time, but probably for the first time seriously. And so we built a business that was both delivering e-commerce technology solutions to retailers and brands, but also then delivering data solutions. And the data solution, the data part of the business was called Dynamic Action. So we built that business. We ended up selling the e-commerce services business and spun out the data analytics part of the business called Dynamic Action. And Dynamic Action was really inspired. One of my experiences when I was running Figleaves, in fact, the person who took over from me that I sort of brought into the business had previously been running Amazon in the UK.
Oh, wow.
Then he took over the business, and after a couple of weeks, I remember the day very clearly where he sat me down and he said, you know, Michael, he said, you're measuring all the things. And I said, well, you know, what do you mean? Can you give me an example? And he said, I can give you a few examples, but he said, let me start with this one. And he said, you know, you're telling me that Figleaves is, you know, 92% in stock at the SKU level, at the color size level. And I said, that's correct. You know, we're 92% in stock. He said, it doesn't matter. He says, what matters is, are we in stock of the products that customers are looking at? Which was sort of an Amazon concept of viewed availability. We thought we were a pretty smart leadership team, been running the business at that point for just over 6 years, and we never thought of that. And when we started looking at our viewed availability, it was horrible. It was more like 70%. And the reason it was so bad was because we had lots of marketing traffic landing on products that were sold out or didn't exist. We had lots of clever recommendation zones on the website that were great at recommending bestsellers, but not so good at recommending products as they started to sell out. And so the kind of my epiphany from kind of watching an ex-Amazon leader run a business that I've been CEO of was that the ability to look at data in a different way can be transformational. And so that was really the kind of the inspiration for Dynamic Action. And Dynamic Action, which was the data analytics business we then created, was all around how do you bring together marketing data, customer data, merchandising data, supply chain data to give retailers an integrated view of their performance to drive to a better, faster decision. So Dynamic Action had a very good run. We built the business again from, we spun it out, lose track of time, but in sort of 2013, 14, and we scaled it over the next 6 years. And then in 2020, we sold the business to Edited. So it became part of the Edited family. And it's very, very complementary. Edited historically was a market intelligence business. So it was scraping data from fashion websites around the world to give an integrated view of the competitive marketplace. Edited historically was the outside the enterprise data. Dynamic Action historically was the sort of inside the enterprise data. And so really bringing those together was part of the sort of grand vision of how do you help retailers by bringing together both market data and internal data. Again, always focused on making better, faster, more surgical decisions.
Excellent. Michael, it's first of all, great to talk to you. You're a wealth of knowledge. So I know I'm talking to the right person and excited. Talking about today's retail landscape, and you know, you've seen a change over the course of a couple of decades now, but you know, I want to talk about the key challenges that most face today. And we're experiencing that real-time customer data is not that accessible, and trying to understand customer behavior is difficult, especially when data only exists in silos. So how does a retailer's access of a way of integrating data either support or hinder them? And kind of talk about those key challenges that most retailers are facing.
To sort of go back a little bit and say, how do we get here and what is the problem we're trying to solve? You know, clearly, you know, retailers historically had a relatively simple business model. So if we think sort of pre-internet, you know, retailers found a store format that worked, door of a particular size in a location type. They found a kind of an economic model that made a store be profitable, and then they opened more stores. And the successful retailers, you know, whether you think about the likes of Zara and H&M and Uniqlo, you know, they opened a lot of stores. These businesses were opening a store, you know, hundreds of stores a year over a very, very long period. It was a very successful formula. And then when the internet came along, you know, initially, you know, retailers said, okay, well, we can think about this like just another store. And at the beginning, it was a small store. And then as the internet grew, became their largest store. And so, okay, so then we thought, we've got all these stores, and then we have our digital store that is, you know, clearly very, very important, but we still manage it and think about it as a separate end. What then happened through COVID was that what we saw was essentially, you know, a government-imposed radical shift in customer behavior. And it started blurring channels and businesses that had historically thought about a store channel and an online channel suddenly realized that's not how customers are thinking. And once, you know, we got into a post-COVID world, you realize that, you know, clearly the behavior didn't go all the way back to what it was before, and it settled into this sort of new, quite complex pattern where retailers suddenly realize, you know what, if I take a channel view of performance, my traditional view of looking through my store channel, my online channel, just going to make bad decisions. I need to really understand how my customers are behaving and performing. That's one big theme. Second big theme, and you just have to look at, you know, whether it's recently the demise of Farfetch, but, you know, so many of the sort of the digital pure plays who hit extraordinary highs, you know, pre-COVID and during COVID, and then have come crashing back down to earth. The second big theme is, you know, retailers need to be profitable. And I think that a lot of businesses, again, you know, up until recently, were rewarded for driving revenue growth, you know, with a mantra being, you know, if you're growing top line revenue, don't worry about bottom line profit. And suddenly, the stock market investors of various different flavors saying that's no longer acceptable, right? You need to be driving profitable growth. So you've got a sort of combination of, one, the need to understand customer behavior in a way that we've never had to before. And secondly, the need to understand profitability in a way we've never had to before. And fundamentally, our belief and our contention is that the only way to do this is to think about customer P&L, to really think about customer as the unit of profitability, fundamentally, all retailers are trying to drive customer profitability. And clearly, there are differences in executing through channels, but that's a means to an end. So then where does the data fit in? Well, if you're trying to understand customer profitability, it requires joining data from a whole range of different sources, whether that's obviously the sort of the cost of goods, but digital marketing. We talk about, you know, the cost of goods, which is the cost of the product, cost to serve, which is actually the cost to actually the packing, the dispatch to customers, return handling, customer service, the cost to market. So actually all of the new variable digital marketing costs, and then potentially the cost to finance. All of these now pay in three, the sort of the ability to sort of finance purchases, which would often some financial consequence to the retailer. So suddenly, when you start thinking about customer profitability, it's stating the obvious is much, much more complex to understand and make sense of than simply looking at store revenue. And it gets harder in the sense of, you know, it's hard enough to actually make sense of who's making me money and how are they making me money. But then critically, it's like, well, what do I actually do? How do I then translate the insight that one can get from this data to actually work out what right next actions to take are, and whether those next actions, whether it's per action, whether it's a marketing action, whether it's a merchandising action, is a really, what we see, it's a new muscle for retailers.
Something I mentioned at the start of this discussion was the idea of connected data. And I kind of just want to start with that, Michael, if you could kind of just talk us through what is connected data. So what do you mean by that? And we'll dive into some of the great things that it provides in just a little bit.
So, you know, just building on what I've just said, if you think about a typical retail operation, and there's retail data coming from stores, there's, if you've got a loyalty scheme, there's data in a loyalty scheme, there's supply chain data that's telling you where your inventory is being held at various points back to the manufacturer. There's obviously all the digital data you get from a website, there's all the digital marketing data, there's customer data, there's returns data. Retailers are sitting on lots and lots and lots of disparate data sets. Historically, the way that retail operated meant that you could make pretty good decisions in silos. You know, if you're running a store, I could look at the data just for my store. If you're a merchandiser, I can just be looking at my inventory data and my sales data. And so, you know, traditional store-based retail evolved over, you know, 100 plus years to have good enough. And let's be clear, you know, there were lots and lots, there still are lots and lots of very, very successful store-based retailers that could make good enough decisions with relatively siloed data. Even worth remembering, there were very big successful retailers before there were computers. But what you find in sort of modern retail, customer-centric, omni-channel retail, is to really make sense of what is going on, you need to join these data sets together. You need to join customer digital data with store data. You need to join marketing data to customer data to understand, of all the money we're spending on digital marketing, actually which ones are acquiring valuable customers. Where are we spending more money on Google and Facebook in customer acquisition costs? Where is our customer acquisition cost actually greater than our customer lifetime value? When we're selling products through a digital channel, in a store environment, you don't have the data. Products either selling or not selling. In the digital environment, if products aren't selling, well, the question is, are people viewing products but not buying them, or are people not viewing them? Have more data, as in you have data about views, and you have data about where those views are coming from, and you have data about the customers who are generating those views, and you also have many more levers to pull. Products aren't selling in the physical world. The only lever you can pull is to change the price. Whereas in the digital world, you can change the exposure. You can move them around in your digital store. You can increase their visibility in digital marketing channels. So in order to make smarter decisions, you need to pull all these different data sets together to have any hope of understanding what's going on. And the risk of not doing that is you simply look at silos. You know, marketing will look at marketing data, merchandisers will look at merchandising data. And the consequence of that is you simply will make bad decisions. You will sort of mark down, you will change, run promotions on products. Really, the issue has nothing to do with their price. You know, you'll spend money on marketing that will drive revenue, but it won't be profitable. Or you'll drive traffic to products, and you'll give money to Google and Facebook to drive traffic to products that don't need any more exposure. So for me, the power and the criticality of integrated data is it gives retailers a much more joined up view of actually what's driving their performance. And it just helps them make better, faster, smarter decisions.
That's terrific. On the contrary, what does it look like when a retailer has disconnected data? What are some of the opportunities? I know we've been talking a lot about the problems we're trying to solve, but the opportunities that get lost if a retailer isn't focused on having a unified source of data.
Yes, I think the consequence of not joining your data is waste and missed opportunity. It's as simple as that. You are going to be making blunt silo decisions. So either what is that going to mean? You are either going to be spending money that drives some siloed outcome that really doesn't correlate with, you know, the way that retailers operate. You know, you have various different functions. You have a marketing function, you have a merchandising function, you have a supply chain function. All of them will have their own siloed objectives. But if you don't understand how those objectives all sort of ladder up to drive profitability, the risk is that everyone is busy in their silo, optimizing metrics that kind of maybe made sense to a point or make sense, you know, made sense in an old retail world. But what happens in a kind of joined up customer centric retail world is you just, you know, you spend money you didn't need to spend, or you just leave money on the table. And you know, clearly that's going to massively vary scale of the retailer based on how well they're doing overall. There's no question this is more mission critical for some businesses than others. But I would say every retailer I talk to is on this journey and increasingly is recognizing that, you know, if they don't get a joined up view of data, they're, you know, it's just incredibly, more than incredibly hard, impossible to be confident that you're prioritizing the right decisions.
In terms of the leaders of the business and kind of bringing all these different departments together, why should C-level executives or, you know, these managers care about providing access to connected data? And how can this transform an organization's way of working or making the right moves or just overall success?
Clearly, it's going to vary by, you know, where retailers are. You know, every retailer now feels like they're in permanent transformation. But I think every C-level exec I talk to, they want to drive profit. They want to drive customer satisfaction. They want to operate at pace. They want to be intentional. There's a general sense that used to be people were overwhelmed by data, but now the new mantra is people are overwhelmed by insight. There are so many things that people can do. They really want to be intentional about focusing on the right things in the right order. And I think, you know, when you talk to C-level executives and you say, you know, what is the mechanism for you to deliver on that? I don't know what the alternative is to having connected data. To be honest, I think if you don't have connected data, if you are simply looking at your business as a set of independent silos, every business we've seen and I work with and I talk to where you do get a joined up view of performance, you see magical things. You just see opportunities that you haven't seen previously. And sometimes it will validate what they're doing already, things that people had in instinct were the right things to be focused on. But where it does that, it then allows you to amplify and accelerate and go after those opportunities with much more confidence.
You know, I think this is a good question to ask, Michael, but sort of in terms of democratizing data, how can organizations approach this successfully and not be, you know, so concerned about providing that information overload or too much information to too many people?
It is absolutely a great question. And I think the risk also is if you democratize data, then everyone tries to start managing everyone else's bits of the business. So there is definitely unintended consequences I think this is where leadership is important, where the right company culture is important. I think the skills for managers, again, this was a term someone used with me yesterday, was great expression of understanding necessary complexity. You know, when is it that I just need to make a quick bump decision versus when is it that I really, that it's worth being very, very surgical. So I think these are absolutely the skills of the next generation of retail leaders, of understanding how to democratize data, but create a culture where people have a job and people have a particular focus, but they have to recognize that this is a team sport and they need to optimize their piece of the jigsaw without messing up what's going on in another part of the business. And I do not think it is easy, but I'm absolutely convinced that if you don't go down this route, you really risk losing control.
That's some really good advice. And talking specifically to the C-level executives, choosing solutions is also not that easy. And they want answers. They want to see numbers. They want to see use cases. So I think a good way to start wrapping up this podcast, Michael, would be kind of to talk a little bit about some of the use cases that a team that is emboldened with connected data can really carry out successful business.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think if I think about the four use cases, everything to do with surgical CRM. So everything to do with how do we have, going from blunt customer level blunt promotions being broadcast to a whole bunch of customers, to being much more surgical about individual customers. What is the next best product we want to talk to them about? What is the right level of promotional value to give to a customer? From a merchandising performance, how do we get much smarter about how to make intelligent pricing decisions, intelligent allocation decisions at a product level, deciding when the next best action for a product is change the price versus increase the exposure. So being more surgical about customers, being more surgical about products. And then finally, I think about digital marketing, moving away from, ROAS type metrics where retail, where marketeers get rewarded for just driving top line revenue, really thinking about how do I spend digital marketing to drive incremental profitability, and being much more surgical in my deployment of digital marketing. But I think the general themes are, again, across all of the key sort of lines of the P&L, how do I use joined up data to make better, faster, smarter decisions?
Well, that's a great way to wrap up, I think. And so, Michael, thank you so much for just taking the time out to discuss the benefits of having these connected systems and talking a lot about what executives want to see. They want to see profitability, as you mentioned, the way they're chasing customer loyalty out there and making the right decisions and the right decisions quickly. Michael Ross, Chief Scientist over at Edited. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Connor. Great to talk to you.